The simple program, like the 21-day no-complaint experiment made famous by Will Bowen, where you wear a single bracelet and move it from one wrist to the other each time you complain. The goal is 21 days without complaining, and you reset to zero each time you slip up. This increased awareness helps prevent useless past tense deliberation and negative emotions that improve nothing but deplete your attention. Decision-making isn't to be avoided. That's not the problem. Look at a good CEO or top corporate performer, and you'll see a high volume of decisions. It's deliberation. The time we vacillate over and consider each decision. That's the attention consumer. Total deliberation time, not the number of decisions, determines your attention bank account balance, or debt. Let's assume you pay 10% overtime by following the above rules, but cut your average decision cycle time by an average of 40%, 10 minutes reduced to 6 minutes, for example. Not only will you have much more time and attention to spend on revenue-generating activities, but you'll get greater enjoyment from what you have and experience. Consider that 10% additional cost as an investment and part of your ideal lifestyle tax, but not as a loss. Embrace the choice minimal lifestyle. It's a subtle and underexploited philosophical tool that produces dramatic increases in both output and satisfaction, all with less overwhelm. Make testing a few of the principles the first of many fast and reversible decisions. February 6th, 2008. The Not-To-Do List. 9 Habits to Stop Now. Not-To-Do lists are often more effective than to-do lists for upgrading performance. The reason is simple. What you don't do determines what you can do. Here are 9 stressful and common habits that entrepreneurs and office workers should strive to eliminate. The bullets are followed by more detailed descriptions. Focus on one or two at a time, just as you would with high-priority to-do items. 1. Do not answer calls from unrecognized phone numbers. Feel free to surprise others, but don't be surprised. It just results in unwanted interruption or poor negotiating positions. Let it go to voicemail and consider using a service like Grand Central. You can listen to people leaving voicemail or receive them as text messages. Or PhoneTag.com, receive voicemails as email. 2. Do not email first thing in the morning or last thing at night. The former scrambles your priorities and plans for the day, and the latter just gives you insomnia. Email can wait until 10 a.m. after you've completed at least one of your critical to-do items. 3. Do not agree to meetings or calls with no clear agenda or end time. If the desired outcome is defined clearly, with a stated objective and agenda listing topics or questions to cover, no meeting or call should last more than 30 minutes. Request them in advance so you can best prepare and make good use of the time together. 4. Do not let people ramble. Forget how's it going when someone calls you. Stick with, what's up? Or, I'm in the middle of getting something out, but what's going on? A big part of GTD, getting things done, is GTP, getting to the point. 5. Do not check email constantly. Batch and check at set times only. I belabor this point enough. Get off a cocaine pellet dispenser and focus on execution of your top to-dos instead of responding to manufactured emergencies. Set up a strategic autoresponder and check twice or thrice daily. 6. Do not overcommunicate with low-profit, high-maintenance customers. There is no sure path to success, but the surest path to failure is trying to please everyone. Do an 80-20 analysis of your customer base in two ways. Which 20% are producing 80% plus of my profit, and which 20% are consuming 80% plus of my time? Then put the loudest and least productive on autopilot by citing a change in company policies. Send them an email with new rules as bullet points, number of permissible phone calls, email response time, minimum orders, etc. Offer to point them to another provider if they aren't able to adopt the new policies. 7. Do not work more to fix overwhelmingness. Prioritize. If you don't prioritize, everything seems urgent and important. If you define the single most important task for each day, almost nothing seems urgent or important. Oftentimes, it's just a matter of letting little bad things happen, return a phone call late and apologize, pay a small late fee, lose an unreasonable customer, etc., to get the big, important things done. The answer to overwhelmingness is not spinning more plates or doing more. It's defining the few things that can really fundamentally change your business and life. 8. Do not carry a cell phone or Crackberry 24/7. Take at least one day off of digital leashes per week. Turn them off, or, better still, leave them in the garage or in the car. I do this on at least Saturday, and I recommend you leave the phone at home if you go out for dinner. So what if you return a phone call an hour later or the next morning? As one reader put it to a miffed co-worker who worked 24/7 and expected the same, "I'm not the president of the U.S. No one should need me at 8 p.m. at night. Okay, you didn't get a hold of me, but what bad happened?" The answer? Nothing. 9. Do not expect work to fill a void that non-work relationships and activities should. Work is not all of life. Your coworkers shouldn't be your only friends. Schedule life and defend it just as you would an important business meeting. Never tell yourself, "I'll just get it done this weekend." Review Parkinson's Law and force yourself to cram within tight hours so your per-hour productivity doesn't fall through the floor. Focus. Get the critical few done and get out. Emailing all weekend is no way to spend the little time you have on this planet. It's hip to focus on getting things done, but it's only possible once we remove the constant static and distraction. If you have trouble deciding what to do, just focus on not doing. Different means, same end. August 16th, 2007. The Margin Manifesto, 11 Tenets for Reaching or Doubling Profitability in 3 Months. Profitability often requires better rules and speed, not more time. The financial goal of a startup should be simple: profit in the least time with the least effort. Not more customers, not more revenue, not more offices or more employees. More profit. Based on my interviews with high-performing, using profit-per-employee metrics, CEOs in more than a dozen countries, here are the 11 basic tenets of the Margin Manifesto, a return-to-basics call that gives permission to do the uncommon to achieve the uncommon. Consistent profitability, or doubling of it, in 3 months or less. I review the following principles whenever facing operational overwhelmingness or declining, stagnating profits. Hope you find them useful. 1. Niche is the new big, the lavish dwarf entertainment rule. Several years ago, an investment banker was jailed for trade violations. He was caught partly due to his lavish parties on yachts, often featuring hired dwarves. The owner of the dwarf rental company, Danny Black, was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying, "Some people are just into lavish dwarf entertainment." Niche is the new big. But here's the secret. It's possible to niche market and mass sell. iPod commercials don't feature dancing 50-year-olds. They feature hip and fit 20 and 30-somethings. But everyone and his grandmother wants to feel youthful and hip, so they strap on nanos and call themselves Apple converts. Who you portray in your marketing isn't necessarily the only demographic who buys your product. It's often the demographic that most people want to identify with or belong to. The target isn't the market. No one aspires to be the bland average, so don't water down messaging to appeal to everyone. It will end up appealing to no one. 2. Revisit Drucker. What gets measured gets managed. Measure compulsively, for as Peter Drucker stated, what gets measured gets managed. Useful metrics to track, besides the usual operational stats, including CPO, cost per order, which includes advertising fulfillment and expected returns, chargebacks, and bad debt, ad allowable, the maximum you can spend on an advertisement and expect to break even, MER, media efficiency ratio, and projected lifetime value, LV, given return rates and reorder percent. Consider applying direct response advertising metrics to your business. 3. Pricing before product. Plan distribution first. Is your pricing scalable? Many companies will sell direct to consumer by necessity in early stages, only to realize that their margins can't accommodate resellers and distributors when they come knocking. If you have a 40% profit margin and a distributor needs a 70% discount to sell into wholesale accounts, you're forever limited to direct to consumer, unless you increase your pricing and margins. It's best to do this beforehand, if possible. Otherwise, you'll need to launch new or premium products. So plan distribution before setting pricing. Test assumptions and find hidden costs by interviewing those who have done it. Will you need to pay for co-op advertising, offer rebates for bulk purchases, or pay for shelf space or featured placement? I know one former CEO of a national brand who had to sell his company to one of the world's largest soft drink manufacturers before he could access front-of-store shelving and top retailers. Test your assumptions and do your homework before setting pricing. 4. Less is more. Limiting distribution to increase profit. Is more distribution automatically better? No. Uncontrolled distribution leads to all manner of headache and profit bleeding, most often related to rogue discounters. Reseller A lowers pricing to compete with online discounter B, and the price cutting continues until neither is making sufficient profit on the product and both stop reordering. This requires you to launch a new product, as price erosion is almost always irreversible. Avoid this scenario and consider partnering with one or two key distributors instead, using that exclusivity to negotiate better terms, less discounting, prepayment, preferred placement, and marketing support, etc. From iPods to Rolex and Estee Lauder, sustainable high-profit brands usually begin with controlled distribution. Remember, more customers isn't the goal. More profit is. 5. Net zero. Create demand versus offering terms. Focus on creating end-user demand so you can dictate terms. Often one trade publication advertisement, bought at discount remnant rates, will be enough to provide this leverage. Outside of science and law, most rules are just common practice. Just because everyone in your industry offers terms doesn't mean you have to, and offering terms is the most consistent ingredient in startup failure. Cite startup economics and the ever-so-useful company policy as reasons for prepayment and apologize, but don't make exceptions. Net 30 becomes net 60, which becomes net 120. Time is the most expensive asset a startup has, and chasing delinquent accounts will prevent you from generating more sales. If customers are asking for your product, resellers and distributors will need to buy it. It's that simple. Put funds and time into strategic marketing and PR to tip the scales in your favor. 6. Repetition is usually redundant. Good advertising works the first time. Use direct response advertising, call to action to a phone number or website that is uniquely trackable. fully accountable advertising, instead of image advertising, unless others are pre-purchasing to offset the cost. E.g., if you pre-purchase 288 units, we'll feature your store slash URL slash phone exclusively in a full-page ad in... Don't listen to advertising salespeople who tell you that 3, 7, or 27 exposures are needed before someone will act on an advertisement. Well-designed and well-targeted advertising works the first time. If something works partially well, e.g. high response with low percentage conversion to sales, low response with high conversion, etc., indicating that a strong ROI might be possible with small changes, tweak one controlled variable and micro-test once more. Cancel anything that cannot be justified with a trackable ROI. 7. Limit downside to ensure upside. Sacrifice margin for safety. Don't manufacture product in large quantities to increase margin unless your product and marketing are tested and ready for rollout without changes. If a limited number of prototypes cost $10 per piece to manufacture and sells for $11 each, that's fine for the initial testing period and essential for limiting downside. Sacrifice margin temporarily for the testing phase, if need be, and avoid potentially fatal upfront overcommitments. 8. Negotiate late. Make others negotiate against themselves. Never make a first offer when purchasing. Flinch after the first offer. 3,000 followed by pure silence, which uncomfortable salespeople fill by dropping the price once. Let people negotiate against themselves. Is that really the best you can offer? Elicits at least one additional drop in price. Then, bracket. If they end up at $2,000 and you want to pay $1,500, offer $1,250. They'll counter with approximately $1,750, to which you respond, "I'll tell you what, let's just split the difference. I'll overnight FedEx you a check and we can call it a day." The end result? Exactly what you wanted, $1,500. 9. Hyperactivity versus productivity, 80-20 and Pareto's Law. Being busy is not the same as being productive. Forget about the startup overwork ethic that people wear as a badge of honor. Get analytical. The 80-20 principle, also known as Pareto's Law, dictates that 80% of your desired outcomes are the result of 20% of your activities or inputs. Once per week, stop putting out fires for an afternoon and run the numbers to ensure you're placing effort in high-yield areas. What 20% of customers, products, regions are producing 80% of the profit? What are the factors that could account for this? Invest in duplicating your few strong areas instead of fixing all of your weaknesses. 10. The customer is not always right. Fire high-maintenance customers. Not all customers are created equal. Apply the 80-20 principle to time consumption. What 20% of people are consuming 80% of your time? Put high-maintenance, low-profit customers on autopilot. Process orders, but don't pursue them or check up on them. And fire high-maintenance, high-profit customers by sending a memo detailing how a change in business model requires a few new policies, how often and how to communicate, standardized pricing and order process, etc. Indicate that, for those clients whose needs are incompatible with these new policies, you are happy to introduce other providers. But what if my largest customer consumes all of my time? Recognize that, one, without time, you cannot scale your company, and oftentimes life, beyond that customer. And, two, people, even good people, will unknowingly abuse your time to the extent that you let them. Set good rules for all involved to minimize back and forth and meaningless conversation. 11. Deadlines over details. Test reliability before capability. Skills are overrated. Perfect products delivered past deadline kill companies faster than decent products delivered on time. Test someone's ability to deliver on a specific and tight deadline before hiring them based on a dazzling portfolio. Products can be fixed as long as you have cash flow, and bugs are forgiven, but missing deadlines is often fatal. Calvin Coolidge once said that nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. I would add that the second most common is smart people who think their IQ or resume justifies delivering late. June 24th, 2008. The Holy Grail. How to outsource the inbox and never check email again. What if you never had to check email again? What if you could hire someone else to spend countless hours in your inbox instead of you? This isn't pure fantasy. For the last 12 months, I've experimented with removing myself from the inbox entirely by training other people to behave like me. Not to imitate me, but to think like me. Here's the upshot. I get more than 1,000 emails a day from various accounts. This has, thankfully, decreased to 2,000 to 3,000 per week as of this writing. Rather than spending 6 to 8 hours per day checking email, which I used to do, I can skip reading email altogether for days or even weeks at a time, all within 4 to 10 minutes a night. Let me explain the basics, followed by tips and exact templates for outsourcing your own inbox. 1. I have multiple email addresses for specific types of email. Blog readers versus media versus friends, family, etc. Tim@ is the default I give to new acquaintances, which goes to my assistant. 2. 99% of email falls into predetermined categories of inquiries with set questions or responses. My rules document is at the bottom of this post. Feel free to steal, adapt, and use. My assistant, or assistants, checks and clears the inbox at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. 3. For the 1% of email that might require my input for next actions, I have a once-daily phone call of 4 to 10 minutes at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with my assistant. 4. If I'm busy or traveling abroad, my assistant leaves the action items in numerical order on my voicemail, which I can respond to in a bullet point email. These days, I actually prefer the voicemail option and find that it forces my assistant to be more prepared and more concise. Each night, or early the next morning, I'll listen to my assistant's voicemail via Skype and simultaneously write out the next actions. 1. Bob, tell him that. 2. Jose in Peru, ask him for. 3. Speaking in North Carolina, confirm, etc. in a Skype chat or quick email. How long does the new system take? 4 to 10 minutes instead of 6 to 8 hours of filtering and repetitive responses. If you only have one email account, I recommend using a desktop program like Outlook or Mail instead of a web-based program like Gmail for a simple reason. If you see new items in your inbox, you'll check them. Like they say in AA, if you don't want to slip, don't go where it's slippery. This is why I have a private personal account that I use for sending email to my assistant and communicating with friends. It's almost always empty. Email is the last thing people let go of. Fortune 500 CEOs, best-selling authors, celebrities, I know dozens of top performers who delegate everything but email, which they latch onto as something only they can do. No one can check my email for me is the unquestioned assumption, or I answer every email I receive is the unquestioned bragging right that keeps them in front of a computer for 8 to 12 hours at a stretch. It's not fun, and it keeps them from higher impact or more rewarding activities. Get over yourself. I had to. Checking email isn't some amazing skill that you alone possess. In fact, checking email is like everything else, a process. How you evaluate and handle delete versus archive versus forward versus respond email is just a series of questions you ask yourself whether consciously or subconsciously. I have a document called Tim Ferriss Processing Rules, to which my assistants add rules when I send them a note via email with add to rules in the subject. Over the course of a week or two with a virtual assistant, VA, you will end up with an externalized set of rules that reflect how your brain processes email. It often shows you how haphazard your processing is. I've included my rules here to save you some time. A few tips. 1. Setting appointments and meetings takes a lot of time. Have your assistant set things up for you in Google Calendar. I input my own items via my Palm Z22 or iCal, then use Spanning Sync and Missing Sync for Palm OS to sync everything. On my Uberlite Sony Vaio, which I still use for travel, I use Companion Link for Google Calendar. I suggest batching meetings or calls in 1 or 2 set days, with 15 minutes between appointments. Scattering them throughout the week at odd times just interrupts everything else. Update, 2009. The Palm Z22 has been discarded, and I now use a 13-inch MacBook and BusySync to synchronize iCal with Google Calendar. 2. If you jump in your assistant's inbox and answer anything, BCC them so they are aware that you handled it. 3. Expect small problems. Life is full of compromises, and it's necessary to let small bad things happen if you want to get huge good things done. There is no escape. Prevent all problems and get nothing done, or accept an allowable level of small problems and focus on the big things. Ready to jump in and test the Holy Grail? Here are the steps. 1. Determine exactly which accounts you will use and how you want them to respond to, or just categorize or purge, email for you. 2. Find a virtual assistant. 3. Test for reliability before skill set. Have the top 3 candidates do something on tight deadline, 24 hours, before hiring them and letting them in your inbox. 4. Use a probationary period of 2 to 4 weeks to test the waters and work out the problems. Again, there will be problems. It will take a good 3 to 8 weeks to get to real smooth sailing. 5. Design your ideal lifestyle and find something to do other than let your brain fester in the inbox. Fill the void. Tim Ferriss Processing Rules. This post is, of course, available on the blog for those who would like to copy and paste the rules for their own use. Note the Q&A format. Some of the questions are my standard points for VAs. Some have been added by my assistant who put together this document. Passwords. A list of websites with logins and passwords. Calendar, calendar.google.com, spamarrest.com, Google Gmail account, amazon.com, nocostconference.com, paypal.com. Team requirements. I often have exec-level assistants manage 4 to 5 other sub-VAs who handle certain repetitive tasks, often at half the exec VA's hourly rate. The exec VA takes on an office manager, or in some cases, COO-level function. Download alexa.com toolbar. Learn statistics, rank for business prospect and joint venture opportunities. Deadlines are extremely important. Be aware of them and be punctual. If Tim says, call me back, call him back. Do not send an email. This is an important point as Tim does not always have email access because he is traveling a lot. Even if it is late in the evening, he is up late. If he does not want to answer his phone, he will not. But please call him back when he asks you to. He much prefers a phone call to an email. Purchase and read the elements of style regarding proper grammar and punctuation. We are dealing with high-profile clients on Tim's behalf, and the proper writing techniques and message says a lot about his team. Become as familiar as you can with his book and his website as to answer questions accordingly. Contact information. Tim Ferriss, mailing address. Tim Cell, your use only, private cell. Number to give others, Grand Central number, Skype. Billing address, private, billing address. Purchases. Ask head VA for his Amex number. She will advise whether purchases can be approved. Question and answer preferences. 1. How do you feel about joint ventures? I'm open to them, but my brand and respectability is number one. I will not do anything with anyone who comes off as deceptive or amateur.
Make millions while you sleep in our super insane foreclosure program.
On the website, disqualifies someone. I cannot be associated with anyone who might be seen as a liar or snake oil salesman. Just ask yourself, if the CEO of a well-known company saw this, would he lose interest in speaking with me? If so, it won't work. For those who pass that criteria, what have they done already? I'm not looking for first-timers generally unless they have an excellent track record and reputation elsewhere. 2. Do you focus solely on profit-generating tasks? No, I also look for prestige, Harvard, government, etc., wide exposure, as well as building networks with people who have world-class skills in some area. 3. How do you handle spam? Spam arrest and Gmail. I have no problem with spam at this point. 4. What is your optimal response rate, i.e. respond to all emails no later than 48 to 72 hours after received? Same day. I'm bringing you on to respond quickly. 5. Do you respond to any emails? Yes, but I'll want you to filter them first. Respond to all you can, then mark the ones I should look at with the label Tim in Gmail. Note earlier in this article how I am now asking VAs to leave to-dos via voicemail. 6. Do you put in any events in your calendar? Yes, but I expect I will move more and more to having you do it. 7. Do we manage your items or do you delegate? We are cool with both, but prefer to manage. I'll try to give the list to you to take care of. I need confirmations that you received the task. On it will be done at X PM is enough. And like status updates on larger projects with milestones. 8. Who is on your team? Me, the publishing team, and some PR folk at this point. I might have you get involved with my other businesses later, but that's it for now. 9. Who do we have to collaborate with on a regular basis? See above. 90% me, then possibly my publicist, tech support and web staff, and my book agent. More will come, I'm sure, but that's it for now. 10. Who calls the shots for you? You can decide anything under $100. Use your judgment and report the decisions. 11. Do you have days off, as in no business appointments? Let's shoot for no appointments on Fridays, but let's play it by ear. Update, I now only have appointments on Mondays and Fridays. 12. Who has been handling your appointments up until now? Me. I haven't had any in-person meetings for close to 4 years. Things have changed with the book. 13. Explain to us your optimal work week. i.e. how long between phone calls, how many meetings per week, travel preferences, etc. I go to bed late, so try and avoid calls before 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time when possible. Try and cluster phone calls and meetings so that I can bang them out at the same time, as opposed to having one at 10 a.m., another at 1 p.m., and another at 4 p.m. Have them all in a row with 15 to 20 minutes in between whenever possible. I'd like to do phone calls before 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time when possible, so 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Calls should be kept to 15 to 30 minutes, always with a defined end time. If someone asks to jump on the phone with me, send them something like, "To make the best use of everyone's time, Tim likes to have a well-defined agenda with objectives for a call before jumping on the phone. Can you please send over some bullet points with what you'd like to cover and decide on the call?" Something like that. 14. Do you like us to schedule personal items in with your business calendar, i.e. order your mother flowers for Mother's Day, etc.? Absolutely. 15. What are all the email addresses we respond to for you? See earlier text. 16. Do you like us to respond as you or something like client support for Timothy Ferris? The latter, probably something like executive assistant to Tim Ferris below your name. I'm open to suggestions. 17. How many times a day do you want email checked? Twice should be fine to start. Let's aim for a minimum of at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. in your time zone. 18. What are your working hours? 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, then often 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Before you cry, what happened to the 4-hour work week? Realize that work hours here could be replaced with active and available by phone hours. I have lots of projects and do not preach idleness. I am very active. See the 6th comment on this post on 4hourblog.com for more elaboration. Or re-listen to the Filling the Void chapter in this book. 19. Do you like using IM? Not really, unless it's a scheduled discussion. Just leave yourself logged in, and I'll log in if I need something. I tend to use Skype chat these days as it's encrypted and I can avoid a separate IM program. 20. Do you prefer a phone call or an email to answer a quick question? Phone call. Absolutely. Do not email me for anything urgent. I really follow my own advice and don't check email that often. 21. What is your favorite color? Green, like cedar leaves in July. 22. Call at the end of every day if there is something that Tim needs to respond to in his email. 23. Ebooks. Tell them they can download the ebook from powells.com. 24. Label all emails from Expert Click for Tim. No need to respond or forward. 25. All LinkedIn emails can be archived or deleted as Tim receives notification of invites as soon as he logs into his LinkedIn account. 26. For startup inquiries in the health and wellness industry or Brain Quicken startup inquiries, please see the templates in Gmail titled Congratulations and General Business Questions, Brain Quicken Templates. 27. For language inquiries, please see the templates in Gmail titled Reader Question on Language Resources, Language Templates. 28. When Tim types dictate in the email response, this means that we can say to the recipient, as Tim is traveling at the moment and not able to personally respond to your email, I mentioned your message while on the phone to him and he asked me to dictate. This makes the process easier as we do not have to change the context of the person responding. This is to avoid having an assistant convert my first person, please tell him that I, to third person, Tim says that he, providing shorthand for cut and paste, saves hours of assistant time. 29. If someone email blasts a bunch of people, and I am one of them, usually safe to ignore or delete. Read them carefully, of course. But if it says, for example, a few influential people I know, or something like that, then if someone can't take the time to personalize for me, forget them. If Tim is copied, of course, that's a different story. Tim's address is X. This email is not to be distributed or given to anyone. If you want to copy Tim on an email, please use the BCC field so that it remains private. 31. Mark anyone from Princeton for me to look at. Tim label. Note, I've since had to modify this due to volume. 32. If I decline someone and they persist, give them one more reply. Tim appreciates the persistence, but he really can't, etc. And then archive future requests. Use your judgment, of course, but that's the general rule. Some people don't know when persistent turns into plain irritating. 33. Please also create a rule to respond with scheduled for all items I send to be put in the calendar. when they're put in the calendar. Missing calendar items can cause big problems, so this is a check and balance to confirm. 34. No need to follow up with someone after a call has taken place unless Tim instructs otherwise or they request something from us. 35. Send all speaking requests to X and ensure that he confirms receipt. However, also see items 38 and 39. 36. Foreign language requests, i.e. purchasing rights, if the book is available in a particular language, etc., send to the appropriate person at my publisher. 37. X's replacement at Random House is X. 38. Inquire with Tim first before booking any speaking gigs on a specific date as he may be traveling. 39. When booking appointments in the calendar, be sure to also ask which topics they would like to discuss and put them in the calendar description for Tim so he can prepare. Also be sure to ask for a backup phone number in case they are not able to reach Tim. I almost always have people call me unless I am abroad, as this is another safeguard against missing appointments. 40. Put initials in the subject line of calendar events so we know who, which virtual assistant, put the item in the calendar. 41. Prepare inquiries for Tim before sending to him for his review, i.e. get their Alexa ranking, possible dates of the event, a link to past events they have held, their budget, other confirmed speakers, etc. Then send this info to Tim for his review. 42. Respond to PX method inquiries with the following response. Hi, name. Thanks for your inquiry about the PX method. However, the PX method page is designed as just a template others can look at as a reference for testing their own product ideas. We are not sure if or when Tim will offer the PX method for sale, but there are no plans at this time. We appreciate your inquiry nonetheless. Thanks. I get quite a few emails from readers who do not see the disclaimer on the PX method mock-up page and thus attempt to order a product that isn't ready to ship. 43. Download eFax Viewer to view Tim's faxes. His fax number is X. 44. Event or speaking inquiries can be responded to as such. Thanks for your email and for your invitation to Tim. In looking at the event online, I see that the event is April X and X 2000 X in Portland, Oregon, for example. Before I present this to Tim, could you answer a few questions for me so we can make a more informed decision? Would you like Tim to be at the entire event? How long would the keynote presentation be, or would it be a Q&A panel? Do you cover travel and accommodation along with the speaker's fee? What is your budget for keynote presentations? Have any other speakers confirmed to present? As soon as I hear back, I can speak with Tim about the possibilities of making this happen. Thanks again. Warmly. Name. This email is, fill in the blank, bloggable, ask first, private. Name. Executive Assistant to Timothy Ferris, author The 4-Hour Workweek, 4hourworkweek.com, Random House Crown Publishing. Bio and fun, 4hourworkweek.com/blog. January 21st, 2008. Proposal to work remotely on a contract basis. This is the actual remote work proposal reader Autumn Brookmeyer used successfully to move to Argentina while retaining her job and cutting back to 5 to 10 hours per week of work. Autumn Brookmeyer, July 2008. Background. After working for the company name for more than 2 years, I have a great loyalty to the people and mission of this organization. I believe I have added a great deal of value to the organization in my position as marketing coordinator. With my creative problem-solving and my cost-effective solutions, I have changed the way we produce and distribute our holiday cards, and I have developed a contest to bring in more usable photos for our marketing and publications. I would like to propose continuing to perform the following tasks for company name, but on a contract basis, remotely. I plan to live in Argentina for 6 to 12 months, starting in September of 2008. My goals are to develop my fluency in the Spanish language and immerse myself in another culture and completely foreign environment so that I develop my skills in adaptation to new ways of thinking. I am more than happy to discuss different ways to make this possible, and I have some suggestions if company name would be willing to consider them. We can test this arrangement for a few months to see if it works for both of us, since that would make the most sense. Role number one, graphic design and print advertising coordinator. Responsibility, create timelines for print materials and coordinate with respective program teams. Expectations, print materials will be completed on time. Responsibility, coordinate design projects with program directors and outside graphic artists, designers. Expectations, print materials designs are suitable for the audience, accurate and appealing. Print materials are professional quality and produced within set timelines. Responsibility, maintain relationships with print vendors to minimize cost relative to time and quality in producing program print materials. Expectations, print materials are printed within the established budget unless budget overages are specifically approved by the director of marketing. Contract solution, by using email and web-based programs such as Concept Share, I can continue to coordinate these design projects from a distance. I currently maintain relationships with print vendors and designers at a distance, so physical presence is not necessary for this to continue. For meetings with program directors and the marketing team, I would use a free video and phone conferencing service called Skype. We usually meet once or twice to discuss changes to their marketing materials, and the rest of the process is continued through email and Concept Share. Role number two, special marketing project manager. Responsibility, maintain a collection of updated, appropriate marketing images. Expectations, images needed for marketing materials and websites are anticipated and acquired. Contract solution, I am still able to complete this task remotely by doing images searches on web databases such as istockphoto.com. If the experiment with the seminar photo contest fares well, I could also manage that process via the web using Aptify, email, and Skype. Responsibility, identify and implement new opportunities to leverage marketing materials. Expectations, ideas are researched for feasibility and effectiveness. Chosen projects are designed and sent out within the budget and timeline. Contract solution, I would utilize email and Skype to communicate any new ideas and opportunities to leverage marketing materials. I have recently proposed creating a one-page calendar of our program deadlines to distribute to our recent seminar alumni in a fall mailing. This way, students will have an easy way to remember all of our deadlines for our programs and may potentially boost our number of applicants. Role number three, web-based marketing coordinator. Responsibility, contribute to online advertising efforts and track results. Expectations, online efforts are increasingly cost-effective. Marketing director is informed of web-based marketing results as requested. Contract solution, I am familiar with our online advertising efforts and can continue to help with this process from a distance. I will be able to access Facebook ads, Google ads, blog ads, and aid Carrie in gathering and entering data. I have experience working with our Facebook and Google ads and have created images for blog ads in the past. Launching new ads will be easily managed abroad. Responsibility, compile collection of updated, appropriate web photos. Expectations, attractive, updated photos will be available for program and marketing uses. Contract solution, As stated above with the stock photo inventory, I am still able to complete this task remotely by conducting image searches on web databases such as istockphoto.com. The seminar photo contest will also be used as a tool to aid in this compilation of images while I am abroad. In order to more effectively track the cost of production of our print materials, I think company name would find value in transitioning to a contract basis for this position. I have really enjoyed working at company name thus far and would like to continue working for this organization from a remote location. Thank you for your consideration of this proposal. Explanation of software and programs mentioned. Concept Share. ConceptShare.com. Concept Share allows you to set up secure online workspaces for sharing designs, documents, and video, and invite others to review, comment, and give contextual feedback anytime and anywhere without a meeting. Company name has used this site for a few months to test its usability and has also been tested on multiple computers in Argentina, thanks to my sister testing it out for me while she was in Argentina. Skype. Skype.com. Skype is a free software that allows you to talk for free via the internet. You can also use Skype with regular phones to make calls internationally for a low rate of about 4 cents a minute. Skype also has video chatting capabilities and conference call capabilities for meetings. The setup requires downloading the Skype software, free, and buying a headset with microphone, $10, and webcam. Money ranges for each computer. I have tested this software with my sister, and it works well for her in Argentina and for me here. iStockPhoto. iStockPhoto.com. iStockPhoto is an internet royalty-free image and design stock photography website. This is one of the many sites I use to find photos for company name. We have already used a few photos from this site for our marketing materials. Seminar Photo Contest. This contest was created by me and developed with Carrie as an experiment to collect more relevant and usable photos for our marketing and publication efforts. Since we have found it to be a bit invasive to try and take the photos ourselves, we wanted to try a new approach to capture photos for our needs. All participants of our Summer Seminars 2008 are able to submit photos they have taken at their seminar with a chance to be rewarded with a $5 Amazon gift certificate for each image we choose. Living the 4-hour work week. Case studies, tips, and hacks. Zen and the Art of Rockstar Living. Art Lovers Wanted. Photo Finish. Virtual Law. Taking Flight with Ornithreads. Off the Job Training. The 4-Hour Family and Global Education. Doctor's Orders. Financial Musing. Who Says Kids Hold You Back? Working Remotely. Killing Your BlackBerry. Star Wars, anyone? Zen and the Art of Rockstar Living. Hi, Tim. Here's the story. I'm a musician based in Munich, Germany. I'm running my own label, and it has been difficult to get it off the ground. While working on that, my creativity slowly decreased until I hit rock bottom, a couple of times. While it is still difficult to survive in the music industry, I find it not hard at all now to do what I want to do, and that's all I do. I do what I want to do. It includes being a father, making music, composing, taking care of business, traveling, learning languages, mostly Italian, riding my bike, etc. It's all in the following paragraphs. 1. I read the book step by step for about 2 months from September to October 2008, plus surfing your blog, and just made tabula rasa with my life. Lots of brain vomiting on paper. 2. I started outsourcing things that bothered me most, and therefore kept hanging out in my to-do list the longest. I outsourced research, most of which is music industry related. Research outsourced saves about 2 to 3 hours per day. Website maintenance. Social websites like Facebook, MySpace, etc. I'm planning on doing most of my marketing through these sites in 2009, and I'm on about 25-plus sites as an artist. My VA, GetFriday.com, as recommended in your book, does all the updates and checks the sites once a week to gather email messages, comments, etc., filters them, and sends me a report once a week, including all the details for me to respond to. Saves about 1 to 2 hours per day. Photo retouching for my press pics is done by Elance. Saved 5 hours of work time and about $500. Management of my mailing list for gig dates, album updates, etc. saves about 1 hour for each mailing. I started testing muses, learning languages with music to sell online. I'm still testing. I decided to open a publishing operation online for film companies to license music for film with just a mouse click, without having to negotiate deals for months. It will happen in 2009. I start testing soon. People are generally surprised and amazed that a person who doesn't seem to be very corporate, I look like a retired punk rocker, haha, outsources parts of his life and lives like a millionaire. I guess we do, although we're far from it. I realized that I could do it after I got the first positive feedback from my outsource VA. I got the results of my project posted on Elance, and a day later I got the results. I went, yeah, baby, this is mine. The biggest change is that I now have my life under control. I take care of my little daughter, 20 months, half the day. Second half, my wife takes care of her. I take care of business, and I take time to do things I always wanted to do. Revenue-wise, I'm pretty much the same I was before, but I have a lot more spare time and a clear head. So I guess I've gotten a lot richer. I work whenever I want. No boss, about 24 to 30 hours per week, including office hours and music studio hours. And what I do now is only what I really love to do. I'm still step-by-step optimizing efficiency to reduce office hours, currently about 10 hours per week. My dream is to dissolve my office altogether, go paperless, and basically only have my laptop as an office. I eliminated all work that has gotten me down or was wearing me out. Eliminated an extra workload of about 10 hours per week. I do not take on jobs, writing or producing music, unless I really love the project. I eliminated all complainers and haters. Saves my stomach. I just started my blog, JurgenReiter.com, Zen and the Art of Rockstar Living, where I want to share the changes I made to my life, mostly for musicians to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I recorded an album of my music and, for the first time in my life, did all the lyrics myself. It's going to be out in spring on my label Orcan Music Plus Art Productions. I'll be on mini-retirement in New York this year for 6 weeks. I'll be in Sicily to learn Italian for about 2 weeks in May. I'll be back in Sicily to travel the island by bike for another 2 to 3 weeks in September, and am planning on going to either Mexico, Central America, or Australia in the winter. I learned to shave with a straight razor within about 30 minutes, which I wanted to do for years. Shaving is a real exciting ritual now and a lot of fun. I will do a master course for coffee experts in April, I'm a coffee junkie, and become a maestro del café. I helped my wife quit her teaching job and fulfill her dream to run a cafe in Munich, Germany. It's called Frau Viola and opened its doors in October 2008. It is running great. FrauViola.wordpress.com. Can you measure all of that? I think it speaks for itself. The general mindset of 4-hour work week has given me the calmness of being able to take time to play with my daughter and enjoy my free time without getting the fear of missing out on something or wasting my life. I'd say overall, with all the above-mentioned changes, my productivity increased at least 70% and doubt decreased by 80%. For those just getting started, 1. Start small